I want to welcome you back to Bible Studies with Russ. Today we're picking up in Judges chapter 18, beginning in verse 21. We're going to read verses 21 through 26, and some commentators have given this section the title, Michael's Futile Attempt to Recover His Treasure, from Judges chapter 18, beginning here in verse 21. Here the Bible says, Then they turned and departed, and put the little ones, the livestock, and the goods in front of them. When they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men who were in the houses near Micah's house gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. And they called out to the children of Dan, so they turned around and said to Micah, "What ails you that you have gathered such a company?" So he said, "You have taken away my gods," and that's a little g, "my gods, which I made, and the priests, and you have gone away. Now what more do I have? How can you say to me, what ails you?" And the children of Dan said to him, "Do not let your voice be heard among us, lest angry men fall upon you, and you lose your life with the lives of your household." Now the children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his house. As we go back and look at verse 21, we're going to look at some of these phrases from verses 21 through 26. We find in verse 21 that they put out the little ones and the cattle and the goods before them. This meant that the 600 armed men provided the rear guard, indicating that they expected Micah to pursue them and that they were determined to fight if he did so. The next phrase we're going to look at here is, they were a good way from the house of Micah. It appears it had taken Micah some time to round up all of his neighbors and put together a company for the pursuit of the Danites, but the Danites were easily overtaken due to the nature of their group, which included wives, little children, cattle, baggage, and so on. Then we find here the next phrase, have taken away the gods which I have made. It's very sad that an Israelite should assume that he could make a god, and how strange that a man should have to rescue his god. How deplorable that Micah's life was so wrapped up in his so-called gods that he considered that he had nothing left when they were taken away from him. You think about that idea. He made his gods, and then he had to rescue his gods. How sad, and what a frame of mind he must have had. Then we find the phrase here, let not your voice be heard among us. This was a brutal answer. What the Danites said, if we may paraphrase it, was, "Look, you better keep your mouth shut," if you want to paraphrase it, "and quit crying after us. And if you don't, we will simply knock you down and kill you and then return to your residence and kill your entire generation." That's a way to paraphrase that, if you will. Next, we notice the phrase here, "lest angry fellows fall upon you," or "lest angry men fall upon you," there in verse 25. In the Hebrew, the literal words from which the words "angry fellows" are translated are literally "men of acid temper." It was, you might say, suicide folly to provoke such men. Then we find here the next phrase, that thou lose thy life with the lives of thy household. Again, literally from the Hebrew, this means, of this reads here, "You will gather in your life and the lives of your household, and the same being the equivalent of you, and you will cash in your chips." That's some, again, literally from the Hebrew there. The shameful deeds of the Danites here exactly fulfilled Jacob's prophecy when he bestowed this blessing upon him in Genesis 49:16-18. Paraphrasing, as one commentator says, paraphrasing this blessing, we read the prophecy of Jacob and the declaration that Dan would not only be a snake, but a poisonous one at that, who would bring disaster to those whom he might encounter, concluding that Jacob had prayed and waited for God to bring salvation to Dan. Now in verses 27 through verse 31, 27 through 31, I have here the heading, the Danites take Laish and destroy it. The Danites take Laish and destroy it. Verses 27 through 31 of Judges chapter 18. Here the Bible says, again reading from verses 27 through 31, reading from the New King James here. Beginning verse 27. So they took the things Micah had made, and the priests who had belonged to him, and went to Laish, and to a people quiet and secure. and they struck them with the edge of the sword and burned the city with fire. There was no deliverer because it was far from Sidon, and they had no ties with anyone. It was in the valley that belongs to Beth Rehob, so they rebuilt the city and dwelt there. And they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan their father, who was born to Israel. However, the name of the city formerly was Laish. Then the children of Dan set up for themselves the carved image, and Jonathan the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, and his sons were priests of the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. So they set up for themselves Micah's carved image, which he made, all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. So we go back here, we look at verse 27. We find here that they killed all those by the edge of the sword there in verse 27. And they struck them with the edge of the sword and burned the city with fire, the latter part of verse 27. This is a reference to the wholesale slaughter of men, women, children, and infants. And the burning of the city with fire might also have been an instrument of annihilation of the population of that quiet and peaceful little city. Again, using some paraphrasing here by one commentator. We want to find here as we continue looking here at verse 28. They had no dealings, or they had no ties with anyone. The citizens of that quiet little city had not made any treaties or alliances with others who might have been able to help them in such a disaster. There was no deliverer. It was in the valley of Beth-Rob. This place was the northern limit of the penetration of Canaan by the 12 spies sent out by Moses, Numbers 13 and verse 21. Next we find, and they called the name of the city Dan. They built their city on the ruins of the destroyed Laish. Note that Dan is referred to here as their father, meaning their ancestor. The proverbial expression from Dan to Beersheba carried the meaning of from one end of Israel to the other. We find next that Jonathan, the son of Gershom, son of Moses, he and his sons were priests to the Danites. We find that the apostasy of the grandson of Moses, the same word means great-grandson, was an embarrassment to the Jews. They wrote the word Manasseh above the word Moses, but did not change the text, so that in reading it aloud, they did not have to mention this shameful development in the posterity of Moses. Of course, the connection of this distinguished family of Moses with this apostate shrine in Dan added to the prestige and acceptance by the Israelites. We notice as we looked at toward the end of verse 31, or as we look at verse 31, the Bible says, they set up for themselves Micah's carved image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. The whole time the house of God was in Shiloh, what were they doing? They were looking up to this carved image that Micah had carved as well. Next, we want to look at this next section as we get into chapter 19 of Judges. And this is part of a bigger section here. Chapter 19 through 21, I have the heading here, the near extermination of the tribe of Benjamin, in Judges chapter 19 through 21. And we have these words here by a commentator by the name of Kaufman. And he says here, concerning chapters 19 through 21, he says, in these chapters, the near total collapse of moral integrity is in Israel occurred. He says, a sordid record begins with the brutal murder of a helpless bride whose husband sacrificed her to cruel sodomite sons of the devil without lifting a little finger to protect her. He goes on to say here, the events recorded here occurred during the lifetime of Phinehas, and while the Ark of the Covenant was at Shiloh. Phinehas evidently outlived Joshua, and the events narrated here during the interval between the times of Joshua and Phinehas. He says, this appears to be true based upon Judges 2, 27 through 28. Josephus' narrative of his version of these events coincides with this conclusion as well. Let's look together now at Judges chapter 19, 1 through 4. And it came to pass in those days, when there was no king in Israel, that there was a certain Levite staying in the remote mountains of Ephraim. He took for himself a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah. But his concubine played the harlot against him, and went away from him to her father's house at Bethlehem in Judah, and was there 4 whole months. Then her husband arose, went after her, to speak kindly to her, and bring her back. having his servant and a couple of donkeys with them. So she brought him into her father's house, and when the father of the young woman saw him, he was glad to meet him. Now his father-in-law, the young woman's father, detained him, and he stayed with him 3 days, so they ate and drank and lodged there. As you look here in Judges chapter 19, there is some who want to talk about this term concubine. It's used in some translations. The New King James uses the term concubine there in verse 1. The American Standard uses the word concubine there in verse 1, as well as in verse 2. The King James, as I move over here, talks about concubine there as well. And it says, I think it's the RSV. Some say it says they had an argument, though I do not find that recorded here. If the RSV asserts that the Levite and his wife had a quarrel, which resulted in her going to her father's house. But I do not find that in the New King James, the King James, American Standard, the ESV, which so many like to use, does not say that. It actually says that she was unfaithful to him there in verse 2. I don't know if I have the RSV here in my Bible program. Young's Literal here in verses 1 and 2 does not say anything about them having a quarrel. He actually says in verse 2 that she committed whoredom against him. Against him doth his concubine. And so, from ones I see here, what's the NIV say? Again, I do not find anything from these other translations that say they had a quarrel in verses 1 and 2. Anyway, okay, so let's look at some things from this. A certain Levite, so look at verses 1 through 4 of Judges. A certain Levite, obviously a different man from the Levite of the preceding chapter. Preceding chapters, took a concubine as a wife from the city of Bethlehem and Judah. She played the harlot against him, and then returned to her father's house. That such things as these could occur in Israel was possibly because of the depressed state of morality and the depressed state of spirituality at that time. Deuteronomy 24 verse 4 says, her former husband which sent her away may not take her again to be his wife, if she is defiled, for this is an abomination before the Lord. And thou shalt not cause a land to sin which the Lord thy God giveth thee for inheritance. So it was unscriptural for the man to take his wife back after her escapade. The RSV again asserts that the Levite and his wife had a quarrel which resulted in her going to her father. The husband learned of his wife's whereabouts, and after 4 months he went to the house of his father-in-law to seek a reconciliation with his wife. He was invited into the house by his wife, which includes, which indicates, some say, reconciliation. He lodged there for 3 days. The husband had brought a servant and two donkeys, as we see there in verses 1 through 4. So, just because he is doing this, it doesn't mean it is right, right? I mean, there's a lot of actions in the Bible that take place. They record events. It doesn't mean that God actually condones those things. Judges chapter 19, and let's read now verses 5 and 6 of Judges chapter 19. In here, Judges 19, 5 and 6, reading from the New King James, says, and it came to pass on the fourth day that they arose early in the morning, and he stood to depart. But the young woman's father said to his son-in-law, refresh your heart with a morsel of bread, and afterward go your way. So they sat down, and the two of them ate and drank together. Then the young woman's father said to the man, please be content to stay all night, and let your heart be merry. So that's verses 5 and 6 of Judges chapter 19. So the woman's father, evidently wanting to have his daughter around him as long as possible, pleaded with her husband to stay another day. He persuaded Levi to eat and drink and spend another night with him. Okay, verses 7 and 10 of Judges chapter 19, verses 7 through 10. And when the man stood to depart, his father-in-law urged him, so he lodged there again. Then he arose early in the morning on the fifth day to depart, but the young woman's father said, please refresh your heart. So they delayed until afternoon, and both of them ate. Verse 9, and when the man stood to depart, and his concubine and his servant, his father-in-law, the young woman's father, said to him, "Look, the day is now drawing toward the evening. Please spend the night. See, the day is coming to an end. Lodge here and let your heart may be merry. Tomorrow go your way early, that you may get home." Looking at verse 10, however, the man was not willing to spend that night, so he arose and departed and came opposite Jabus, that is Jerusalem. With him were the two saddled donkeys. His concubine was also with him. So as you see verses 7 through 10, again, having spent the fourth night with his father-in-law, the Levite arose on the fifth morning with the definite intention to be on his way. His host persuaded him, however, to stay long enough to eat another meal. When he arose to take his leave, his host tried to persuade him to stay yet another night, but again he would not, and he went on and leaves there. Verses 11 through 15 of Judges chapter 19. So they were near Jebus, and the day was far spent, and the servant said to his master, Come, please, let us turn aside into this city of the Jebusites and lodge in it. But his master said to him, We will not turn aside here to a city of foreigners who are not of the children of Israel. We will go on to Geba, however you want to say that. So he said to his servant, Come, let us draw near to one of these places and spend a night in Geba or in Ramah. And they passed by and went their way, and the sun went down on them near Geba, which belongs to Benjamin. They turned aside there to go into lodge at Geba, and when he went in, he sat down in the open square of the city, for no one would take them into his house to spend the night. Okay, 11 through 15. We've had the nightfall found them near Jebus, which was later to be known as Jerusalem. Joshua had captured this city from Jebusites in Joshua 10:23, also mentioned in Joshua 12, verse 10. But the enemies later reoccupied it. It was left to David to capture the city many years later. We have this mentioned in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 6. He says here, And the king and his men went to Jerusalem and to the Jebusites and the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. 2 Samuel 5 verse 6. At the present time, the Jebusites inhabited Jerusalem, which the Levite knew, and thus refused to turn aside into the city of a stranger that is not of the children of Israel. Believing they could find friendlier lodgings among the Israelite population, the Levite insisted on pressing on to Geba or Ramah. Jerusalem was about 6 miles from Bethlehem. Geba was about 4 miles beyond Jerusalem. Ramah was a few miles further on. Again, the servant's suggestion that they lodge at Jerusalem would have averted the tragic events which later were to occur. The sun had come down by the time they reached Geba. They entered the city and sit down in one of the streets. For a while, the travelers were ignored by the citizens. Now, many of the comments here we're reading through here, the summation of this is provided here by Bob Winton. He does a fair job on a lot of this. We want to notice next, in Judges chapter 19, 16 through 21, we have here the heading, The Levite is invited to stay with the old man in Geba. That's Judges 19, 16 through 21. And we'll look at this section here, and then we're probably going to stop for a time of day. Verses 16 and 17 of Judges chapter 19 says, Just then an old man came in from his work in the field at evening, who also was from the mountains of Ephraim. He was staying in Geba, whereas the men of the place were Benjamites. And when he raised his eyes, he saw the traveler in the open square of the city. And the old man said, Where are you going, and where do you come from? So we find this, again, at nightfall, this old man comes from his, enters the city from his work in the nearby fields. And he comes in, he recognizes the travelers and asks where they come from. Now, verses 18 and 19 says, So he said to them, We are passing from Bethlehem in Judah, toward the remote mountains of Ephraim. I am from there. I went to Bethlehem in Judah. Now I am going to the house of the Lord. But there is no one who will take me into his house. Although we have both straw and fodder for our donkeys, bread and wine for myself, for your female servant, and for the young man who is with your servant, there is no lacking of anything. And so we find that giving him a report of their journey, the Levite stated that he lived in Ephraim and was bound to the house of the Lord. It was bound to the house of the Lord. The tabernacle was located at Shiloh, which was within the territory belonging to Ephraim. One commentary states that the man was only saying that he worked at the tabernacle. The Levite told the man, told the old man that he had not been invited to anyone's house at Gibeah, even though he had with him food for the animals and the people of his little company, and even had a servant to tend to their needs. In other words, all he needed was a safe place to stay. There would be no expense there to keep. Okay, verses 20 and 21 are final verses for today. Here the Bible says, "And the old man said, 'Peace be with you. However, let all your needs be my responsibility. Only do not spend the night in the open square.' So he brought them into his house and gave fodder to the donkeys, and they washed their feet and ate and drank." So obviously, if we look at verses 20 and 21, there was a danger in staying on the streets, as there is today in America. He invited them to abide with him. Only did he offer them shelter, he also provided for their needs. They washed their feet and partook of the old man's food and drink. Okay, we're going to pick back up with these events next week. So next week when we come back together, we'll pick up in Judges 19, beginning in verse 22, going through verse 30, looking at the heading, "Certain wicked men of Geba abused the concubine." And so we'll jump right into it next week. So I thank you for your time with me this morning. Hope this has been encouraging to you. And again, hope to see you again next week.